to be a better way. Say it again.
Say it again.
There's got to be a better way. Yeah. What is it good for?
War.
For the discovery of beauty. How rich is the world for one who makes use of this discovery? Beauty must have power over man. After the end of the war, I want to devote myself to my thoughts for 5 to 10 years and to writing them down. Wars come and go. What remains are only the values of culture. Then, of course, there is revolutionary love. Love of comrades fighting for the people, and love of people. Not an abstract people, but people one meets and works with. When Che Guevara talked of love being at the center of revolutionary endeavor, he meant both. For people like Che or George Jackson or Malcolm X, love was the prime mover of their struggle, and love cost them their lives. Love, coupled with a man's pride. Love, coupled with a man's pride. From the United Kingdom, that was Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Well, now we're going to the Space Association of Australia, which presents this radio program. And on Monday, we had our meeting, and one of the speakers there was Angelo De Grazia. As he'll explain, he's a member of the Space Association of Australia. Our meeting was in South Melbourne, as I said, on Monday evening, and he had this to say about the effect of the war between Russia and Ukraine on the space industry.
Welcome all. I'm Angelo De Grazia. I'm a long-time member of the Space Association Committee, so this is my monthly wrap-up. Okay. I wanted to talk about Ukraine and the impact that it has, that it will have on the space industry. So we're 1 month in plus into the invasion, and which was instigated by the Russian president, as we know. 20,000 plus killed so far. It changes every day. 20 million people plus displaced, 200 plus buildings destroyed. In response, the West has imposed some very severe sanctions on Russia. The conflict will impact the space industry, Mark, make no mistake of that. The biggest effect, however, will probably be Russia itself. The past 30 years, the Russian and European and American space programs have been basically intertwined quite deeply, and now it has to be unraveled, and that's not going to be easy. A number of non-Russian space activities depend on Russian technology. Bilateral communications between US and Russia are on hold, but UN discussions on space security is proceeding at this stage. So whilst there's, certain things have stopped, certain things keep going. The first thing that will be affected is the Soyuz rocket. OneWeb, they were going to launch on a Soyuz rocket to put up part of their constellation, will no longer be launching on the rocket. A few satellites are being held hostage in Russia at the moment, so I don't know the state of where they'll end up. SpaceX came to the rescue. Even though OneWeb is an actual competitor of SpaceX, it's a small competitor. It's not a big issue, hence Elon will launch their rockets. Just to give you an idea, perspective, 40,000 plus Starlink satellites are expected. OneWeb only has 700. And the Amazon version should be 3,000. So SpaceX launch expected later this year for OneWeb. So they've basically solved that problem, and Soyuz has lost. They have many satellites, as I said, and OneWeb basically deals with corporate entities, while SpaceX does corporate as well as private. So continuing on with the Soyuz, Kourou in French Guiana, Russians have suspended its use and have left. And it's probably unlikely they'll ever launch from there again. All gone. Euclid, ESA mission to map the geometry of the universe and understand dark matter. That's now not going to go up on a Soyuz rocket. ExoMars was about to launch in September, gone. So there's a real problem with that, because the Europeans have got a rover, but they haven't got a lift, nor have they got a landing platform. Non-Russian communication satellites will have to find other rides. More than a dozen missions are looking for rides. SpaceX has and will come to the rescue, no doubt, because they're the only viable commercial alternative. That's the truth of the matter. Ariane 6 and Vega C are being considered by the Europeans for some of their payloads, but it's a tough call. The other things, space components are going to be affected. Thrusters from Russia, and a number of satellites use, engine components and thrusters from Russia. That's obviously going to stop. Other components like instruments and sensors from Russia, they don't do a lot of that sort of stuff, will stop as well. Cygnus, Northrop Grumman, and the Atlas V United Launch Alliance. Cygnus launches from the Ariane rocket, the Antares rocket. The first stage is made in Ukraine with Russian RD-181 engines. They're all Energia spin-offs from years gone by. Two Antares remain. NASA just ordered another 6 missions from Northrop Grumman, and they also ordered another 6 from SpaceX as well. But I'm not sure what they're going to do at Northrop Grumman with the Antares rocket and how they're going to replace those engines. That's going to be a real issue. Atlas V is powered by Russian RD-180s. SpaceX Starlink, when this happened, Elon transitioned a lot of his people to work on the Starlink project to help Ukraine. But they were being jammed by the Russians. But they all put in a big effort in what's called cyber defense and jamming countermeasures. They were rapidly developed, and at the moment it appears that are not being affected by Russian jamming. So that's pretty interesting. So Elon's, pulled another rabbit out of the hat. China. This will lead Russia, or will force Russia, to further cooperate with China. Russia is hoping that this will be the case due to its international isolation. Dmitry Rogozin, pictured there, has made comments about its excellent relationship with Russia. So they'll get on like a house on fire. The Chinese space station is an example. The Chinese have opened that up, and the Russians will obviously take advantage of it. Russia already has agreements in place to work jointly with China. Pretty agree. What Russia can provide in the partnership, however, is anybody's guess. China's cooperation with Russia because of the international sanctions remains uncertain. It's not a lay-down mazare that the Chinese will necessarily, if you follow the politics, the Chinese would be happy just to stand and watch the West and Russia destroy themselves, and then guess who's top of the rung. So it's not a certainty that Russia will be able to cooperate with China in space. The ISS, I'll talk about that next. Conclusion, the humanitarian impact on the people of Ukraine can't be understated. This has and will cause huge disruption to the space industry and supply chains. The West will adjust and will get around it, but the Russian space industry will suffer greatly, as it was a really good source of income for them, real American dollars. Russian launch rate has and will significantly decrease. It has over the years, thanks to Elon. He basically took all the rides off the Russians anyway, but it's going to get really bad now. Foreign income will cease. Rogozin has suggested that Roscosmos may pursue more military activities rather than the civilian stuff that we're used to. And China is the wild card. Could be an opportunity for India. In a nutshell, though, Russia has shot itself in the foot. Okay, very quickly on the space station. The invasion of Ukraine at this stage has not affected the ISS operations. Three Russian cosmonauts were launched the other day. Now, in itself, they are the first all-Russian crew in 22 years, but the controversy started when they were wearing the colours of Ukraine. But it turns out that wasn't the case at all. They were actually colours of a particular university that they all three had attended, and that was the real story behind it. American astronaut Mark Vanderhey, who's now setting new American long-duration flight record at 341 days, beating Scott Kelly, will be returning to Earth on a Soyuz at the end of March. As originally scheduled, he will not be abandoned like some Western media suggested. It won't affect the Axiom Space mission, the private astronaut mission, which is on track to launch at the end of March on a SpaceX Crew Dragon. NASA just ordered a bit more on the space station. NASA just ordered another six missions from Northrop Grumman and six missions from SpaceX for cargo resupply, as I said before. SpaceX has also recently been awarded another three commercial crew flights, given the delays of the Boeing CST-100 Starliner. So things are still going with the space station. Spacewalks by Russian and American crews continue. The Russians had one not so long ago. The Americans have had a couple since. Still on the space station, Russia is highly unlikely to stop or interfere with the ISS operations until the end of 2024, despite Dmitry Rogozin's threats to pull out if the US continues to be hostile. It may be prudent for NASA to have contingency plans in place, I reckon, just in case. You never know what they're likely to do. Whilst the US wanted to extend the ISS to 2030, the Russians have never agreed to that, and it is probably highly unlikely. So 2024, 2 years' time, we'll probably see the thing deorbit, unless Axiom Space can come up with some fantastic trick. There was also a bit of feuding between Dmitry Rogozin and Scott Kelly. If you follow Dmitry Rogozin, you know that he is a loose cannon at best. So Scott Kelly had a bit of a, called him a clown, I think was the quote. But NASA then sort of said, come on, hold back, and they've stopped feuding. But that's the kind of stuff that's happening up there at the moment.
Speaking on Monday in South Melbourne to the Space Association of Australia, that was Angelo Di Grazia with his take on the war in Ukraine. Well, I think we should play another song by Frankie Goes to Hollywood that might be just a little bit relevant.
Living in a land